Okay? So I've been asked to preface my remarks tonight with a slight and short review of what we, a summary of the major points. Okay? So basically, we started off asking what would be the best life for man. Okay? And we decided that it would have to be a life with the greatest enjoyment. Okay? Now, we thought that it would be a good idea, in order to find the activities which would be the greatest enjoyment for man, that we should try to find objective factors in enjoyment. Okay, and that seemed to be a pretty good approach. The first factor which we identified was the time factor, the quantitative factor. Okay, so we split enjoyments into two categories. One category is the enjoyments that depend upon the physical world, the physical enjoyments. Okay, and the other category is the enjoyments, the mental enjoyments. Okay, the enjoyment that is independent of the physical world, but a person could just engage in on his own. Okay, so we split up into those two categories. Right? Now we said like this. We said that in the physical enjoyments, the enjoyments that depend upon the physical world, they have a limitation. Okay, what is the limitation? Because a person does not have total control over the physical world, right? And yet he needs the physical world to gain his enjoyment. Okay, he needs the different conditions that exist external to him to gain his enjoyment, and yet he doesn't have complete control. Okay, so that causes a limiting factor. We said, like for instance, tennis. Okay, a person may want to play tennis, but he doesn't control the weather. Okay, he can't be in the place where he needs to play tennis. Okay, he has to drive there. He may not have a tennis racket. Okay, so insofar as he doesn't have complete control over the physical world, those factors which his pleasure depends upon, okay, will limit him. Okay, so that even if all the factors are met and he gets there, right? Now there's maybe somebody else on the court. It may start raining. Okay, so any number of factors could come and interfere with his pleasure. Okay, now we differentiated and we said that that drawback does not exist in the enjoyment of thought. Okay, because we said the enjoyment of learning is only contingent upon himself. Since it occurs internally, he doesn't really need any external condition, okay, other than his own existence. Okay, so we said all of those drawbacks that exist by the physical enjoyments do not exist when it comes to learning. Okay, and therefore, on that score, we would have to say that learning is the one enjoyment that is not limited in time. Okay, that is only limited by his own ability or his own desire to engage in it. But insofar as he desires it and he's able, the amount of enjoyment and the amount of time, quantitatively, the amount of time he could engage in this activity is virtually limitless. Okay, it's only limited by himself, but nothing outside of himself. Okay, so that was the first point. Now, we had actually somebody brought up a question on that point, which I think we could deal with a little more thoroughly, okay? Because somebody brought up the suggestion that there are certain enjoyments that, although they're contingent on the physical world, the conditions are not that hard to meet. Like if a person wants to lift weights, let's say a person enjoys lifting weights, so he needs the weights, okay? I mean, it is an outside condition, but it doesn't seem to be too difficult to satisfy that condition, and I'd like to just strengthen his question by saying that you could say, what's the enjoyment of lifting weights? It's exercise. So really, we could do away with the weights, right? So the person that asked that question, Chaim Mitnick, right? So who's listening on the phone? I could really enhance the question. Do away with the weights. A person enjoys exercise. Right, so that he could do virtually as long as his body holds out, right? And he could get that enjoyment unlimited. Okay, so what do you say about that?
A certain amount of physical energy before you can't work out anymore.
Okay, so that's one point that we measure. That's correct. In other words, you're limited by your body, by the strength of your body, which is certainly a greater limiting factor than the strength of the mind, because the mind can continue, whereas the body has the threshold that the body tires is very quickly. Okay, but I say that we could, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what about let's say someone with an Alzheimer's patient, right? So their mind is essentially affected by this disease, which is comes about however it does.
That's right.
So what about that?
Okay, so you bring up yeah.
Yes. I was going to mention that in terms of physical exercise, the limiting factor is the body and the mind.
Okay, good.
If the mind isn't there, then certainly you're just going to be a catatonic as a vegetable.
Right.
But in the case of the Alzheimer's patient, this is the case of the Alzheimer's patient where the limiting factor is the mind. And in the case of a purely intellectual thing, the body is a limiting factor. You can have a guy who's paralyzed, but he can still exercise.
Very good. Okay, so that's putting it very, very succinctly. That's correct. In other words, by an exercise, you see, it's true there's no factors external to the person, but there are factors external to the mind. In other words, by exercise, you need the mind and the body. Okay? So when the body tires out, you can't exercise. But by learning, the one thing you need is the common denominator of everything. In other words, to learn, all you need is the mind. Now, you'll tell me, what if the mind is gone? Well, if the mind is gone, the person is basically gone. He can't do anything, right? No enjoyment is possible without the mind. So, therefore, that is the common denominator. Any enjoyment, any activity the person needs, any activity the person does, requires the mind, okay? So, we can't say that that's a limiting factor that exists by learning, but not other activities. Right? In other words, it's true, the learning is limited by the mind. You must have a mind. Okay? But that is common to every activity. In other words, there's no activity that you can do without the mind that we would say, well, that activity is superior to learning because you're not contingent on the mind. Right? So learning does have a defect. It has a limitation. It's the human limitation that a person that doesn't have a mind can't function. Okay? But what we're saying is learning has the least, okay? In other words, the learning, all you need is the mind. But any other activity, even exercise, you need more than the mind. You need the body. So that if a person will be crippled or a person just is tired out, you see, he can no longer exercise. But think that he could do, that a person could do 12 hours a day. Exercise, once the body tires out, that's it. Okay? Correct? Okay. I just want to add on to that the thing is like this. You see, there's another point here. That what are we searching for here? We are searching for the greatest enjoyment for man. Okay? Exercise, I don't think, is something a person would categorize as one of the great enjoyments of man. Because exercise inherently involves pain. It's a painful activity. It's something that not too many people really do for its own sake. Why do people exercise? Because they're forced to. They have to exercise. They need to exercise for their health. They need to exercise for their appearance, if a person wants to have a certain appearance. Okay. But usually, if you take away those two factors, and the person exercised, let's say, were not healthy, and did not improve your appearance, but on the contrary, exercise maybe wouldn't affect your health one way or the other, and it may reduce your muscles. Okay, in other words, a person could be very muscular without exercise, and the more he exercises, the less muscles he has. If that would be the reality, I don't think you'd find too many people just exercising for the pure pleasure of it. Okay, so exercise is not really an enjoyment. It's not really something that's enjoyable. That's why when you hire movers to come lift heavy objects in your house, you have to pay them, because lifting heavy things is not really one of the things that we classify as one of the great enjoyments of man. Okay? It's something that's done as a means to something. It's something you want to achieve, but it's not done for its own sake. Okay? So I think we can dispense with exercise on two grounds. Number one, what Yona said, that it requires the body also. But even if it didn't require the body, it simply is not something that's an enjoyment. It's not an intrinsic enjoyment. It's not something a person enjoys for its own sake. Okay? And that's why you have an expression. No pain, no gain. Okay? No pain, no gain. I mean, it's a painful activity. Okay? Okay. Now, okay, so let me just go to the second point, and then we're going to get to, we had another question that I think we have to elaborate a little more on. Okay? The second point we spoke about was the qualitative aspect. Okay? And we said there that in order for a person to enjoy something, he has to direct his mental energy to that action. Okay? And the more energy that a person can focus on an action, the greater his enjoyment. And the less energy, he won't enjoy it as much. Okay? So we said that an action that occurs in the physical world, by definition, a certain amount of a person's energy has to be diverted away from the action that he's doing that he enjoys to securing the physical situation, to observing and making sure that his physical situation is such that he can conduct himself. Okay? In other words, if a person is skiing and he concentrates too much on what he's doing, he could forget and hit a tree. Okay? So part of, or if a person, we gave an example, a person playing baseball and he doesn't watch out for other things, he just concentrates on the task at hand, man could suffer serious injury. Okay? So any activity occurring in the physical world is not one that a person can lose himself in the activity. He can never lose himself. Okay? Whereas by learning, since learning doesn't occur outside of him, it's purely an internal phenomenon, all of it, he can lose himself in the learning. Okay? And since he can do that, you see, no energy is wasted on anything outside of the thing he enjoys. All of his mental energy could be directed to one goal, the thing he enjoys. Okay? So that qualitatively also, not just quantitatively, but during the time that he has both enjoyments, the physical enjoyment versus the mental enjoyment will be superior. Okay? The enjoyment he gets will be greater enjoyment. Okay? So that's the second point that we mentioned, and that's the qualitative aspect. Okay, the quality of the enjoyment, the intensity of enjoyment. Okay. So somebody asked a question on that about what about watching TV? Okay, a person sits in a room, watches TV, gets totally absorbed in the TV. Doesn't have to worry about anything around it. Okay? So would you say that also is an activity which, okay, maybe he'll notice if somebody walks in front of the TV, but basically all of his energy is focused on one thing. Okay? So would we compare that to learning? Okay? So Yona brought up a very good point, and he said that he doesn't know anybody that will be satisfied to watch somebody do something, you see, when he himself could do it. In other words, if he himself could get the enjoyment, who withdraws and just watches somebody else do it? Okay, so watching somebody else do something that you enjoy, you see, is a substitute enjoyment. It's inherently an inferior enjoyment. It's something a person chooses, you see, because he can't get the enjoyment that he wants. Okay? Okay, yeah.
And because they can't live the life that they're watching.
That's right.
So therefore they substitute it with this.
It's a substitute, that's right. But if a person could be on that court competing at that level and doing that, would he watch, sit around watching somebody else do it? I mean, that's absurd. A person would never do that. So it's an enjoyment that's a partial enjoyment. It's inherently not an enjoyment that we see. Again, what are we looking for? We are looking for not a life that, okay, we could pass the days and we could won't be bored, maybe. We're looking for the ultimate life. We want to know if we have a chance to live the ultimate life, what will we do? You see? And I think that based on what Yona's saying, which is true, that nobody is going to categorize sitting and watching TV as one of the lives that we could consider the ultimate. You see, that would be something that a person would do when he's prevented from having an ultimate life. You see? Yeah.
I was talking with a client about this. I don't know if you have seen, but like, doesn't it really depend on the quantitative factor of the involvement? Like, you had, like, for example, let's say sorting cards. Let's say a guy gets enjoyment out of sorting cards or something.
Do what?
Sorting cards. Let's just, like, give him a random deck of cards and he puts it in order.
Okay.
So let's say he enjoys that for some reason, right? So there you could really have 100% his, you know, undistracted attention. Into that activity.
That's right.
But it depends on the
But what kind of enjoyment is that?
Right. So I'm saying, but doesn't it? I'm saying
we have to pick things that are enjoyable.
Right. But the point is that this whole consideration doesn't seem to be relevant because it really depends on the quantity. This whole consideration doesn't seem to be relevant because it really depends on the nature of the enjoyment itself.
Okay.
In other words, if you get insane amount of enjoyment out of playing baseball, even though you have to consider other things. So then that doesn't mean that you're going to give it up just so you can sort cards.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You mean you have the subjective factor. One guy enjoys baseball much more than learning. Is that what you're saying?
Even one guy. Let's say you've got...
We're saying all things being equal. In other words, I'm a person that I have free choice. I can enjoy everything to the maximum. What should I do?
Right.
Anything you're going to pick, I say, yeah, I can enjoy that to the maximum. This to the maximum. Which one should I pick?
What do you mean to the maximum?
In other words, I have the ability to love baseball. I love things. I love baseball. I can enjoy that tremendously. I could enjoy business tremendously. I could enjoy boxing tremendously. And I can enjoy learning tremendously. I have the capacity. I have the choice. We're not talking about a person that doesn't have the choice. We're talking about a person who has free choice. He has the ability to choose any path. And he wants to know, okay, all things being equal, okay, which one lends itself to a greater enjoyment, objectively, okay? Now, if you're going to say there's a guy that just loves skiing and doesn't like anything else, so this argument is not for him because obviously he doesn't have a choice. That's the only thing he enjoys. But we're saying insofar as man is capable of choosing a pleasure for himself based on what he thinks will be the best thing. You see? So he has the choices in front of him. Now, which one should he choose?
Okay. I don't think that's possible.
It's not possible. Why?
It's not possible to have everything being equal.
Well, but how else can we deal with this? In other words, if a person comes to you, you see, how else could we deal with this? In other words, if a person comes to you and say, look, I want to have a good life. What do you recommend? So one thing I could ask the guy, well, what do you like the best? You see, and he might tell me, well, I like skiing the best, okay? But then I'll have to say, well, maybe you could like something else. And he'll say, maybe, okay? So he could only judge, he'll be judging subjectively what he thinks he likes. He may not be right. There may be something he likes more, okay? But if we're going to go on those lines, then we're just dealing with each individual and what his prejudice is. He may not even know what he likes the best. Okay? So how do we have to... Is there a way we could look into the person's mind and tell and determine somehow which enjoyment the cells of his brain are most capable of? There's no way we could do that. I don't see how we can deal with the question on those grounds. You see? The only way we could deal with the question is if we could deal with it in an objective sense. In other words, if I could show you, let's say, for instance, you have an enjoyment that you think you love, but you can only do it 1 hour a day. And I could show you, look, there's another enjoyment that you might like that you could do 10 hours a day. Okay? So then you'd say to yourself, well, if I could enjoy that certainly would be better. Right? If I could enjoy that as much as I enjoy this thing that I'm doing 1 hour a day, if I could enjoy that just as much... And get into that as much as this, well, that would certainly be a much better thing for me. That's all we're saying. You see?
You do both.
What's that?
And you just do both.
Well, why would I do both? Why should I do both?
You do this for 1 hour, do that for 9 hours. It's the same enjoyment.
Okay, but then that's what we're saying. We're saying, but this enjoyment, I could set aside 1 hour, and now it starts raining, so I get the frustration. Why should I put my
frustration...
Okay, one second. Let's just take one question at a time, okay? Let me just finish with that. Okay, so what we're saying is that assuming a person has the choice, which one should he do? Now, if a person looks into himself and says, I hate that, I just can't do it, and he's accurate that he really can't do it, so then you're right. Okay, now, there's all kinds of different, you know, gradations. Well, I say I could do this, I enjoy this 90%, this 10%. Those are things that the person has to decide on his own. You know what I mean? We can't really, that's not a subject of analysis. It's a personal thing. It's like if you went to a doctor and he tried to give you a certain medicine. And you say, well, I don't like that medicine. I like this medicine. All the doctor can tell you is objectively which medicines work better. Now, for you individual, it may be that that medicine's no good for you for some reason. Okay, so you'll have to make adjustments. But the science of medicine can't deal with each yachid. You have to have an objective way of measuring things. So that this would mean like this. If you have one guy that loves, let's say, an activity that he could do 1 hour a day, he loves it to the hilt. So for him, maybe that's the best thing, right? But if we have another guy who loves an activity tremendously that he could do 10 hours a day, right? And he loves his activity just as much as the other guy loves his, right? So then if we were to compare those two people, what would we say? Who's a better life? Well, we have to say the guy that's fortunate enough to enjoy this other thing, this 10-hour-a-day activity, just to the same fullness as this guy can enjoy something for a half hour a day, we have to say this guy has a better life. Now, that doesn't mean that the first guy will be able to partake of that. Maybe he can't have it, okay. But we have to know what objectively is the better life. Okay? So that we could compare. We could say there are two people who have X equal enjoyment. One guy enjoys tennis, the other guy enjoys learning. This guy, and they enjoy him equally, right? That's the only way we can compare. Now, we say this guy could do tennis 1 hour a day, this guy could do 10 hours a day. Which guy would you rather be? Now, you're not going to tell me you'd rather be the guy that's playing tennis. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, now, if you're already the guy that only loves tennis, so there's nothing to talk about. Okay? So that's the thing. That's what we're doing. Okay? So now, okay, so your question is like this. Your question is, let's say I can enjoy two things. I can enjoy an activity which has limitations in the physical world, and I can equally enjoy an activity which has no limitations and which I can have total control over and never be disappointed. Okay? So you're saying, why shouldn't a guy say, well, I'm going to do 9 hours of this and I'm going to do an hour of that? Why would the guy do that? Does he have some kind of need to do that particular activity? I would say the guy shouldn't do it. Because why should a guy pick an activity that, number one, is dependent on factors beyond his control? So certain times he won't be able to do it.
Yeah, so those times he can do it.
Well, those times. Okay, so the guy spent the time driving to the... wasted the time driving to the tennis court. That
his
didn't
frustrations
get
are not that... It doesn't, like, make... it doesn't make the whole activity this... like, it's a little small frustration. Now, I'm not...
Okay, but why would a guy want to have that frustration?
I understand an ideal sense.
Why would a guy want that frustration?
What?
You said, why would a guy want a frustration? You tell me, well, it's only a half hour that he has to waste driving to the thing. It's only a half hour. Well, why should the guy want to waste a half hour? If he could have a half hour of enjoyment, why should he waste it? What's the purpose? What's the advantage? There's no advantage, so why should I do that? Okay? So that's the thing. You see, that's why, for instance, like a lot of times people say, well, I'll give you a thing I could do all day long and not be dependent on the physical world at all. I could fantasize. Fantasy. Guy sits and fantasizes about things. Okay? It's true. I could do that. But again, we're looking for activities which are the ultimate enjoyment. And nobody fantasizes about things that they can actually do in reality. They only fantasize about things that they're frustrated and they can't do. You see? So we have to include in this only activities that are primary enjoyments. We can't include a substitute activity. Because that's no good, because intrinsically it's no good. We don't need to get into, well, you can't do it X amount of hours, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's intrinsically a deficient activity. It's something that nobody would choose if they had the other thing. Okay? All right? That's the...
I understand that you're answering the TV question like if you're watching a sport. Maybe it's the same thing, but I'm not clear that you wouldn't choose to watch tennis instead of play tennis.
Right.
So let's say there seems to be another category, like just like a psychological, maybe it's just a fantasy enjoyment,
right,
or like watching like an action movie. So is that...
That's also fantasy. Because what are you watching? You're watching things that you'd like to do.
Right, but it's an enjoyment, right?
Yeah.
It's a real enjoyment.
Well, I would say it's a fantasy. If you call it fantasy, real enjoyment... It's by definition not a real enjoyment. In other words, it is an enjoyment. We're going to get into fantasy. Okay, I'd like to get into fantasy. But without getting too deep into fantasy, I just want to show one thing. It can't be a real enjoyment that a guy would choose initially. He chooses that out of being in a state of frustration. Because nobody would choose to fantasize about somebody else eating a steak. You're hungry? Just fantasize about a guy eating a steak. What do you got to eat it for? So obviously, there's a part of the mind that tells them that's not real. And therefore, you can't really enjoy this. Okay? Now, how people enjoy fantasy is out of desperation. It's out of desperation. Because if they don't have a fantasy, they're going to be depressed. You see? Because they're so frustrated that they can't have this excitement, so they choose a substitute. Okay? But it's really out of desperation. It's not something... You take a guy who's could be out there doing those things with immunity. A guy, let's say, for instance, I gave you the chance, you could be a secret agent and go with guns and all kinds of things, and you're never going to get killed. Nothing could harm you. I mean, are you going to sit in front of a TV? You'd be crazy. You'd run out there in 3 seconds. It'd be the greatest pleasure in the world. Nobody would say, nah, it's okay, I'm just going to watch your show. It's absurd. So you can see the absurdity of it. It's the thing a person does out of frustration. It demands a state of pain. It's not an enjoyable thing. The enjoyment comes... We're going to get into it. The enjoyment comes really from the removal of the pain. But, okay. Yeah, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about learning and thought.
Okay.
It would seem to me that that's also dependent on physical conditions, because you can only think about something in response to a stimulus in the real world. Like, I look up at the sky, I see the sun. Okay, now I want to understand it. Now I can think about it.
Right.
Or I want to think about a problem, you know, I open a safer and now I can think about it.
That's right.
But if I was just in a dark room, you know, you couldn't really have the thinking.
Okay. So what do you say? Does anybody have something to respond to that? Yeah.
If this is a matter of saying that you need perception to apprehend reality, then that applies equally to any other activity. Similar to like the mental state. If you need eyes in order to be able to see, you know, remove the eyes, sure, you can't know what a steer is anymore, you can't know what a lulav is anymore, and you also can't play tennis anymore.
Okay.
So I'm not sure I fully understand what the question is.
Okay, now is he saying that the data, the sense data that you use in thought is common to anything? It's a common denominator. In other words, if you take away that ability for a person to receive sense data, he couldn't practically exist. You see? So therefore, all we're saying is, we're not saying that thinking doesn't have any contingencies. It does. But all we're saying is the things that thinking depends upon are those very things that any human life depends upon. You couldn't do anything without those activities, without those perceptions.
Right.
Okay. So it would be like saying if a person's crippled, can't perceive anything, is totally a vegetable. Yeah. Okay. But that's true. Thinking does depend upon a fully functional person. You see. But all we're saying is beyond that, there's nothing needed really. You see. Like I'll give you an example. This conversation you could really have with somebody if you were in a dark room and had no access to anything. You could have this conversation with somebody because you have memory, so you have all of the information stored in your head, and now you could debate it out. What's the best life for a man? You don't have to be in any particular environment. You see? And conversations like this a person could have if he was isolated, isolated from society, isolated from everything, without the ability of dark, being in a dark room. Once the person has the perceptions and he has memory banks, he could pursue knowledge, okay, to some extent. And of course, any future perceptions that he needs, he wouldn't be able to have. But that again, any activity the man does, you say, he needs his senses, he needs his faculties.
And being exposed to the information required for the conversation,
that's
is
right.
The same thing as really
existing.
Any activity.
That's right, exactly.
Sound enough.
That's right. If somebody ties you up and stops you from existing, from functioning, okay, you can't do anything. Right, so that would be a limitation in thinking also. That's basically your human existence. Okay, you depend upon your existence and your functioning to have this enjoyment. Okay. Right, okay. So the other thing I wanted to bring up was a point you mentioned, which could lead us into something. You mentioned, let's say a person is watching on TV a comedy. Okay, comedian, or a person enjoys listening to jokes. Okay, so of course, you're dependent upon the comedian, right? You have the same limitations because you need the comedian to tell you the jokes. Okay, well, let's say you could think up the jokes yourself, then you could really entertain yourself endlessly. Just think up jokes and right. What is your book? Your book is not jokes, it's puns, just think of puns, you see? Okay, but the thing is like this, you see, but again, we have to look at, we're trying to find the ultimate, among the ultimate enjoyments, what's the best for man, okay? So now, what's the enjoyment of a comedian? That's the question. What is the enjoyment of listening to a joke? What kind of enjoyment is that? Why is that enjoyable? Yeah.
You enjoy hearing the punchline.
You enjoy hearing the punchline, right? Okay, but what's the... the punchline is a punchline because of the setup, right? The joke set you up and then you get the punchline, right? Okay.
The surprise.
The surprise, right? Okay, so it's something other than what you expected. Okay, so in other words, in reality appears to you a certain way. Now when you tell a joke, it's sort of a twist on reality, right? There's a moment of relief because it's like a slight twist on reality. It's not the way things really are, okay? So what it means is that in order for a person to enjoy comedy, it's because he's under certain pressure from reality, you see? And the comedy just distorts, a slight distortion, you see? It's a twist on reality, and it's a relief of the pressure. Because the person's under pressure from reality, has to conform to reality. And then a joke makes light of it. Okay? So that's the enjoyment. The enjoyment is making light of something that you're under pressure. That's the enjoyment. Ah, you feel great for the moment, right? Okay. So that enjoyment, again, it's an enjoyment that's relative to pain. In other words, if a person's not under any pressure, he's perfectly happy. He would not enjoy a joke. No, he wouldn't enjoy it. Because he's not under any pressure. No, he doesn't need a release valve. Would not need it. You see? So the joke is because a person's under a certain pressure from reality and the joke releases it. Okay? So, yeah. Were you going to ask that? Sorry. Yeah.
No, I was just going to ask about the comedian who's just like saying the truth. You have like psychological blocks and he just says the truth just right there.
Right.
And that could also be, I don't know if this is...
Okay. Hang on one second. Right? So you see, that's an enjoyment. There are certain enjoyments that are not positive enjoyments. They're enjoyments that only exist because the person is in a state of discomfort. And the enjoyment is a relief, a release of that pain. You see? That is a certain category of enjoyment. When a person is in pain, if you momentarily release the pain, it gets a tremendous enjoyment. You see, that's why it's laughing, like a certain outburst. You see? That's the enjoyment of comedy. It's not a positive enjoyment. Okay? So now, this actually brings us to the third category of enjoyments. There are certain enjoyments that, amazingly enough, really are not positive enjoyments. are simply the enjoyment is relative to a state of pain. In other words, if you take a guy and let's say you tie him up for a day or so, right? The guy's in tremendous pain, right? And then you untie him, God feels like unbelievable. Oh my God, it feels great. Unbelievable rush of pleasure. You see? Now really you'd say, why is he getting pleasure from that? Nobody else gets pleasure from not being tied up. We're walking around day in and day out. There's no enjoyment. You see? But all of a sudden this guy gets a rush of pleasure. So that is a very funny thing. Because you could say, okay, he was in a tremendous state of pain, and now the pain is gone, but now he should be normal. You see? But it's not the case. Because what happens is, for some reason in the person, if he's in a state of pain, and the pain is suddenly removed, he experiences tremendous pleasure. You see? So much that he could actually imagine, wow, this is a great pleasure. You see? Like there were people that took, what do you call it, itching powder, right? Because you get the itching powder, and then you have this unbelievable pleasure from itching. You see? So that's like a person could imagine, wow, that's a great pleasure. You see? But it's really, it's a mirage because it's the pleasure is only, it's not really a positive pleasure. Try itching without the itching powder, you'll enjoy it. Pleasure disappears. So the pleasure is there only as long as the pain is there. Now you have enjoyments like that, not itching powder, but enjoyments that people really consider enjoyments. Okay? Like a person is very thirsty. He takes a drink of water. Ugh. Unbelievable enjoyment. Take that drink of water when you're not thirsty? Nothing. What is it? It's absolutely nothing. Zero. You see, but if a guy's very thirsty and he drinks that water, tremendous enjoyment. Person's very hungry after a fast. Eats a meal. Wow. That was unbelievable. Right? Eat the same meal when you're not really hungry. You don't even want to look at the food. The same activity, and if the person is not in a state of deprivation, of pain, he will not get the enjoyment. Okay? Person, you have eating and drinking, you have relaxation. Okay? If a person person just hiked up and down Mount Washington three times, okay, the man is collapsing, his feet are blistered. Put the guy on a comfortable couch with a footrest. Oh my God, the guy feels great. Right? Put a regular guy on there, just get away from me. No enjoyment. You see? So that's really, rest is also an enjoyment like that. The rest, when a person is very tired and he lays down, he gets tremendous enjoyment. It's not really a positive enjoyment. It's relative to the pain. Okay? The enjoyment is the relief from the pain. Okay? And the third human enjoyment that you have is that's based on the same thing, it's based on a hunger, is the sexual enjoyment. Okay? That's when a person has a sexual enjoyment, he has to have a state of desire. And the greater the desire, the greater enjoyment he gets. Okay? After the person has satisfied the desire, there's no interest in it. The interest is gone. That same activity was so enjoyable 5 seconds ago, no interest in it. You see? So that shows you these enjoyments are not positive. It's a relative enjoyment. It's a removal of a state of pain. Okay? Now, somehow or other, people consider these great enjoyments. Why, I'm not sure. Okay? But the philosophers call these enjoyments mirages. Because a person makes himself very hungry, he wants to get the enjoyment of food, sits down and eats. Okay, he gets it a little while, but as the hunger recedes, he finds, he starts to lose the enjoyment. To the point that, that's it, he can't take another bite. You see? So therefore, they say these are the worst enjoyments. Because there's no positive gain. For every ounce of pleasure, you must have the same ounce of pain. So what's the net result? You didn't really get anywhere. You didn't engage in something that was positively enjoyable. In order to have this, you needed the same amount of pain. You're just running in a circle. Okay? So these enjoyments, which people consider the greatest human enjoyments, they're really totally worthless, if you think about it. Sorry, put it that way. But yes. Okay.
Isn't learning the same? You're fulfilling your hunger for knowledge. You have no hunger for knowledge. You feel like you got the answer.
Good question.
And you're
good question. Okay, good question. So, what's your name?
Shlomo.
Shlomo. Okay, so Sean was asking, isn't the enjoyment of learning the same? Because a guy has a hunger for knowledge, a desire for knowledge, right? And then when he gets the knowledge, he has the enjoyment. Okay? So you say that's the same. That's the same enjoyment. That's the same thing. It's not positive. It's just a removal of pain. Yeah.
Can I also add on to that question?
Yes, sure.
Also, when perhaps you're learning and you're really just doing it to escape the pain of certain things that were weighing on your mind during the day.
Right.
It's like an escape from the everyday reality.
That's good. That's good. Because it could be in a state of pain where he's under pressure and the learning helps him gets rid of that pressure. So that's also, that's just a removal, a release from the pain. Yeah.
Also, just to add on.
Great, thanks, guys.
and maybe someone for someone was saying, but just to put it in precise terms, it's impossible to engage in learning without some form of a problem in one way or another.
Right.
Right. So really, what you can put that in the same category is the pain that you have by hunger.
That's right.
You have a certain pain of satisfying, of wanting to satisfy the problem. What's this, my focus, whatever.
That's right, that's right, that's right, that's right.
So
that's right. And when you get the answer, you have the relief. Oh.
Right.
Right. Okay, good, good. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the difference is by hunger, once you're hungry and you want something to eat, but once you satisfy that hunger, you're not going to be hungry 2 seconds later or, 5 minutes later. The hunger takes a while to come back. Whereas by learning, you could say, you answer this question, you come up with a great answer, you feel very satisfied, but then there's the opportunity for another question to arise, a few seconds later or a few minutes later. But it's not the same by other.
I'm saying it's not a qualitative difference. You could say the same thing about the itching pattern. You could itch in and say, oh, I got more itching pattern than the person learned.
Right.
Okay,
but
okay.
Saying what's the qualitative difference between learning and.
Okay.
And why is it also just a mirage?
But here he's making a good point, because what he's saying is that there is a big difference. In other words, we don't find that as a person learns, you see, he diminishes his enjoyment. In other words, we don't find that as he, let's make, if you want to analogize it, as he fills himself with the ideas, as he learns, you see, the enjoyment decreases because he's just so full of ideas, he's sick of it. You see, we don't find that, right? We find, no, on the contrary, the more he learns, the more interested he is. And that the enjoyment continues beyond his initial curiosity.
Well, I say it that way, the hunger continues.
Sir?
The worse of
it. What do you mean?
The more you learn, the more you're hungry for.
Okay, okay, fine. I understand. Good, good, good. So, but I'm just saying, right, we do see a difference, right? Factually, we see a difference. In other words, factually, these other enjoyments, right, the moment the guy engages, what happens is the enjoyment goes away because the pain goes away. You see, as the guy eats, he gets satiated and now he can't eat anymore, right? We don't find the same thing with learning. We don't find, hey, he's satiated, that's it, can't learn anymore. No, somehow or other, he can continue learning, you see? Or let's say, for instance, another thing, let's say a guy's playing tennis, right? A guy, before he plays tennis, obviously he has a desire to play tennis, right? But now once he engages in the tennis, do you say that's it, he engaged and now he can't stand it anymore, he's filled with the tennis? No, he continues, and the enjoyment doesn't diminish, the enjoyment could get greater, you see? But somehow or other, with the thirst, when a man is thirsty and he starts drinking, the moment he loses the sensation of the pain of the thirst, the whole activity has no value. You see? So what we want to know is, what's the difference? Right? Man's playing tennis, we don't find all of a sudden, oh, he satisfies his desire to play tennis, that's it. Now the activity has no value. No, the man continues. Right? What's the difference? See, the difference is that when a person, let's say, plays tennis or a person learns, there is no hunger. He's not in a state of deprivation. Hey, I've got to play tennis now, otherwise 5 more minutes and I'm going to just be out. You see, he's not in a, there's no state of deprivation that a man cannot exist X amount of years without tennis. And he's filling that void, you see. What happens is, tennis is something a person finds enjoyable. So he's attracted to enjoyments. A thing that is enjoyable, a person is attracted to. You see? By hunger, what we're saying is, hunger, the man finds himself in a state of deprivation. He's starving. You see? and therefore when he eats, he must eat to remove the state of deprivation. You see, the moment the state of deprivation is gone, no more pleasure. The pleasure is gone. So it means the pleasure has a direct proportion between the pleasure and the pain. Because the man is in a state of deprivation, he's in a state of pain, and the activity is done to remove that deprivation. You see? It's like if I'm walking all day and my feet are blistered, I can't take another step. I'm in a state of deprivation, so now when I relax, now I can get back to my normal state. You see? We don't say with learning, if a person isn't learning, let's say for instance a person is doing something else, he's a businessman. He's not walking around in a state of deprivation, hunger for learning, that he's in a state of torture. He may not even think about learning. The guy doesn't even know about learning. He's spending his whole life in business. Now you come along to that guy and show him an idea. He goes, wow, that's an unbelievable idea. Guys, his whole life he's his businessman, right? Okay, you go up to the guy, you show the guy, sir, could I show you an interesting problem in geometry? You ever see Euclid? You ask the guy, have you ever read a book on Euclid? No, I've never read. Never studied geometry. You open the book up, you show the guy, hey, let me show you a few things in geometry. He goes, oh, wow, I never saw it. It's unbelievable. Now, is he saying that because he was really walking around in a state of total pain that he didn't have the geometry? And now when you gave it to him, oh, he's relieved. You see, there's no state of pain of not having geometry. That's not a hunger. But the pshat is the geometry is something that the mind can appreciate. It's a certain beauty that the mind enjoys. And when the mind is exposed to it, it gets the enjoyment. If a person's not exposed to it, he may not have a desire for it. His desires may be occupied somewhere else. You see? But by food, we don't say that there's something in the food that his mind is attracted to or that there's some kind of positive pleasure. No, why does the guy think of eating? Because he's starving. If he wasn't starving, he wouldn't run for the food. You see? The guy who goes after thinking or a person that plays tennis, he's not in a state of starving for tennis. He may not even know about the game. You see? And then he's walking by one day, he sees people playing tennis. Oh, that looks fun. He had no previous state of pain. Yeah.
Now he does know about the game.
Okay.
You're talking about two different people.
No.
The guy who doesn't know about Euclid, he's never interested, he doesn't have that hunger.
Right, and now you show it.
If he stays in that state, then he won't care for that idea.
When you show
him. Now you show him that idea, say there's a great idea here.
Right, and now he sees.
Now he's in a state of curiosity.
No.
He's a different guy. It's not the guy who didn't know about Euclid.
I'll give you an example. It's a simple example.
I know that idea now.
Okay, I'll give you a simple example. Okay, you're driving down the street, you come out into the open, and there's an unbelievable scene, mountain, unbelievable scenery. You say, "Wow, it's unbelievable." Was there a state of pain before that? That's not a state of pain. He looks at the mountain, goes, "Wow, it's unbelievable." He wasn't thinking about the mountain before. The beauty, the enjoyment of beauty. Is a positive enjoyment. I can stand there and stare at the mountain and go, wow, it's an unbelievable mountain. It's not the removal of a pain. You see, when I drink water and I'm thirsty, that's not a positive enjoyment. If I'm not thirsty and a guy gives me a glass of water, there's no enjoyment. You see, in order for me to drink the water, I have to first be in a state of thirst, a tremendous state of pain. Now, when I drink it, I get the enjoyment because I remove the pain.
Yeah.
If you tie a guy up in a prison, okay, and then you untie the guy, that's tremendous enjoyment, right? And then does a guy walk around now wanting that enjoyment? Oh, I'm untied. Wow, this is great. He can't feel any enjoyment because there's no pain. Yeah.
You can say the same thing about the mountains. Because if a guy grew up his whole entire life in with the mountain views, he's not going to wake up every day and see that's beautiful mountains. The only reason
why he can get tired of
the
view
is because he's growing up in this.
I understand. But it's nothing to do with the other enjoyment. There's nothing to do with removal of pain. I mean, a guy could get tired of a view. Yeah, it's true. I'm just saying, if you enjoy, there's such a thing as positive enjoyment. There's such a thing. A guy looks at a thing and goes, wow, that's unbelievable. That's a positive enjoyment. That's not, he's not experiencing the removal of pain. There's no pain there. It's not like, when I enjoy an idea, that's not like I had a, what do you call it, thorn, what is that when you get
a thorn in the mind?
No. Like what? Yeah, like when you get a wooden splinter. Guy's a splinter, right? You take the splinter out. Yeah, it's tremendous enjoyment. right? Well, that enjoyment is relative to a state of pain. That's not what it is. It's two different things. The removal of pain. See, that itself is an amazing idea. That simply the removal of pain creates a state of enjoyment. That itself, that's a special phenomenon in man. It shouldn't really be that way, because there's no enjoyment in not having, what is it called again?
Splinters.
There's no positive enjoyment. You don't say, hey, you must be enjoying yourself. You don't have any splinters in your hand. There's no enjoyment like that. So the question is, when I take it out, why is the guy getting so much enjoyment? So the answer is, there's a special phenomenon in man when he's in a state of pain, and he has a sudden change from that state, he experiences tremendous enjoyment. You see? But that's not every enjoyment is not the way. That's a particular enjoyment. If I see a beautiful view, there's nothing to do with that. I'm not saying, oh, I was in a state of pain, and now I'm experiencing the enjoyment of the view because pain was removed from me. There's no chakras. The enjoyment of the view is a positive enjoyment. Yeah.
So that's a good question, why that's enjoyable.
Why what's enjoyable?
It's enjoyable because the removal of doubt.
Why what's enjoyable?
Learning. Removal of doubt. That's why it's enjoyable.
That's not enjoyable. That's not enjoyable.
You can easily understand that learning is enjoyable like the same way like a sexual desire.
You're making a mistake because doubt is not painful. Doubt is an enjoyment too. Doubt. You see, being in a state of doubt is an enjoyment too. That's not a painful thing. That's an enjoyable thing. It's a painful.
You wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
See, that's an ego. That's not true. That's not true. You see, you have to distinguish. There is an ego pain of not knowing an answer. Hey, I don't know this answer. This is bad. You see, that's not learning. Learning is enjoyment of a certain view. Now, if you show me a difficulty, a doubt and a difficulty, and a contradiction where I didn't see one, I go, wow, that's an unbelievable contradiction. I can't believe it. I didn't see that kasha. That's an amazing kasha. Now, if you don't give me the answer, you're telling me I'm in a state of pain? If you're in a state of pain, that's not real learning. That's an ego that it bothers you that you don't know the answer. But you can't say that is something that would be painful for a person that is interested in knowledge. On the contrary, he's very happy with that. Wow, I have this is an unbelievable contradiction. That's an eye-opener. There's a contradiction where I didn't see one. Now let's say I don't get the answer. So what? I got a kasha, unbelievable kasha. That's knowledge too.
That's only insofar as it's going to eventually bring you
not
to
true.
Your state.
That's not true.
A person would never be satisfied just hearing contradictions.
Absolutely.
That's ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous?
If you're born into this world and then some people would be bound by gravity and some people would not be bound by gravity and you just never had any answers.
That's not a contradiction. That's something else. That means there's no order. Chaos.
Right,
yeah, chaos is no.
That's
not a contradiction. That's not true. That's not true. Contradiction means that you have two ideas that conflict with each other, two clear ways of seeing a thing, and there's a direct contradiction. That's not chaotic. You see, that's something the mind can appreciate. That's why when you show a guy sugya, let's say you're learning a Gemara, okay, and you learned the Gemara playing, and then your Rebbe comes along and says, one second, let me ask you a question. What about this point there? That doesn't make sense? Why did Rashi say it? There's a total contradiction. Now, when you hear that, don't you get an enjoyment from it? You go, wow, it's unbelievable. I didn't see that. That's an amazing question. You have never heard a person go, wow, that's an amazing question. That's unbelievable. Now, you're telling me that person's in a state of pain?
That's only because he knows that Rashi works with a certain framework. And he says,
What's the difference why it is? But doesn't he enjoy the question?
Yeah, because it's premised on
what's
the fact
the difference
that...
Why? What's the difference why? But it's a question and he enjoys it. Now, if he doesn't get the answer, will he say, now be unhappy?
And if he's operating from the ego.
Yeah. Why should he be unhappy? He was happy 2 seconds ago when he got the kasha. Now, was he just happy because he thought, oh, now I'm going to get the answer? That's not real. That's not the way we operate. In other words, when you see a kasha, and you go, wow, that's an amazing kasha. I don't care why, because Rashi's working, whatever. Whatever it is. But you see a kasha, you go, wow, it's an amazing kasha. You have the experience enjoyment. Now, if you're going to tell me when I get the answer, that's a removal of pain, that doesn't make any sense. So that means when the guy had that question, he was in a state of pain? That's not true. That's a different framework. That's a framework of the ego. Because when a guy hears a question, he feels bad. Oh, I don't understand this. So he feels bad about himself. That's not learning. Learning, he's not worried about himself. He's learning the thing. He goes, wow, that's an amazing kasha. He's just experiencing enjoyment. He might not get the answer. Okay, so I didn't get the answer. So what? And if I got the answer, so now I got another piece of knowledge. So what? I mean, it's just the progression in knowledge. The fact that he got the kasha was an amazing thing that he sees a kasha. That's an eye-opener. Even if he doesn't get the answer. How many times does, right, isn't that famous thing where Chaim says, nobody ever died, nobody ever what? Died from a kasha. What does it mean? Does it mean that it's really bad, it's you're in a bad state, you're going to be unhappy? If a guy's unhappy, that means he's not, it's a different emotion. That's an emotion. That's not the emotion of, yeah.
That may be a way of phrasing it in a sentence to say negative knowledge is still knowledge, but positive knowledge may be more enjoyable.
Okay. Very good. I agree with the first part. Negative knowledge is knowledge. If a person enjoys knowledge, he enjoys negative knowledge. He enjoys knowing what's false also. Yeah.
I still don't see it. Because let's say a guy would say, wow, I'm so hungry right now. I've never been hungry. I've never been this hungry.
Okay.
Right? So sometimes that could be enjoyable because of the knowledge that he's able to satisfy that hunger, right? And because he knows that there is food
slowly.
Out there.
Okay, slow. So that's an enjoyable state?
Yeah.
Okay, and when a person is in an enjoyable state, does he seek to change that state or to keep the state of enjoyment? Does he want to remove a state of enjoyment or maintain a state of enjoyment?
He wants to, I'm saying it's not, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. The same way that if you hear Akasha, you don't just say, oh, I'm done for today.
So slowly. Okay, so I'm asking a question. In other words, if you're saying a guy is in a state of hunger, that's an enjoyment.
Right.
So then why should he ever eat?
Okay, so then I'll ask the same thing with your Akasha.
Okay.
So then why would a person ever want to solve Akasha? Why isn't he just satisfied with hearing the Akasha?
He could be satisfied. But now a person wants to go further in knowledge. He wants to get more enjoyment. I mean, a person wants to get more enjoyment. This is not the end of the day. I mean, if this is the end of the day, okay, so maybe the guy's, that's it. His capacity's over. He enjoyed himself. That's it. He's going to go home. Now we'll come back tomorrow. And now he has this, an approach. So why can't he go further with knowledge? I mean, a person always goes further in knowledge. Even when he gets the answer. Let's say he gets the answer. Now that may bring up a new caution. Now he's going to enjoy that. I mean, each step is an enjoyable thing. But I wouldn't say the guy's in a state of pain. Oh my God, I have a question. What am I going to do? I hope I get that answer. And then when he gets the answer, he's relieved. I mean, I don't think he's really enjoying knowing. Yeah.
Isn't it true that the entire process of asking the questions and getting the answers is the enjoyment? There's knowledge at each step of the way. If you're going to tell me that the questions aren't enjoyment or knowledge, then you might as well always just go to a shir and just get the answer.
That's right.
Just have someone talk to you and tell you the answer. Well, what's the point of questions?
That's right.
It's the process that's enjoyable.
That's the process. It's the enjoyable process. That's right. The question is enjoyable because he's seeing a new point. Hey, wow, that's an amazing thing. These things, I thought they were in harmony. Now I see they're not. That's his move. Now he sees what's not. They're not in harmony. That's knowledge too. Each step is tremendous knowledge. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I fully understood Yehuda's point, but if I understood correctly, the example you were giving is a guy who's hungry knows he's going to eat in a few minutes?
Yeah.
And then that's a state of enjoyment.
Right.
Okay, so I wanted to suggest that really is a state of anticipation, and anticipation is just a form of fantasy.
Right, but I was saying that in terms of the kasha too, in terms of the contradiction.
What did you say in the English?
It's anticipation, and that's a form of fantasy.
Yes, that's true.
Whereas this is a pure positive enjoyment, and the thing about, I'm going to eat in 2 minutes, that's really just a fantasy.
In order for it to be a positive enjoyment, you have to separate it and say that thing itself, in and of itself, is enjoyable.
That's
you
right.
Can't say that Akasha, in and of itself, without if you just eliminated any possible answers, a contradiction would never be enjoyable.
So you're saying negative knowledge is not enjoyable.
Right, didn't the Rabbi used to tell us, Talmidim, we ended with Akasha last night, how could you sleep? Weren't you bothered?
Okay.
Yeah,
good Akasha. Good Akasha. I enjoy that too.
How did you do that?
Good Akasha. Very good.
How conscious bother you? Things are supposed to make sense. How can it not make sense?
It bothers you in a different way. It's not. It's
you
not.
You really appreciate the kasha, then it bothers you.
Oh, but see, you said appreciate the kasha. See, it's an appreciation. That's right. Appreciation is enjoyment. You see, state of deprivation is not enjoyment. There's no enjoyment in being hungry. The enjoyment is that I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to get that steak in 5 seconds. Now, if I was on a desert island, there would not be too much enjoyment in being in a state of hunger, knowing I'm not getting any steaks. That guy's be miserable. You see, the enjoyment is the anticipation, which is the fantasy of that I'm going to be eating. And then when he eats, he gets the enjoyment, but he makes sure he eats. You can be sure of that. He's not going to stay in this state, no matter how enjoyable he finds it. He's pretty sure going to eat that steak. Yeah.
Isn't it like, if that was the only question in front of you, that would be frustrating, because, you know, you don't have a handle on anything. But if the question itself, you see clarity in the question itself.
That's right.
It's
that's
predicated right. on things that you do know.
Right.
Things that do
exactly. In other words, you never have a question that's not predicated on it. I think what you're saying is that you have to have a system around it. Let's say Tosos or Rashi. Let's say you learn a sugya and you know that there are certain premises in the sugya, and then Rashi comes out of left field with some strange comment. He says the reason for this mitzvah is because whatever, you know. So there's a difference between if Rashi said that versus a homeless guy on the street who's not Jewish says the same thing. He says, "Oh, the reason for that thing you're doing is because of this." The reason why you're bothered by Rashi's question and not the homeless guy question is because you know that Rashi has a knowledge of this sugya. So there's it's predicated on the fact that you have positive knowledge. You can't just have
negative. Let's put it this way. All I can say is that the enjoyment of learning is gains in knowledge. Now, insofar as a question is a gain in knowledge, a person would enjoy it. I can't, that's all I can say. If it's not a gain in knowledge, if it's just a question that, I don't know, maybe a question where a guy's just confused, you know, total state of confusion, I don't know. But, I mean, a question that a guy has that he's asking while he's learning, that's a gain in knowledge. And insofar as a person enjoys knowledge, he should enjoy that. That's all I can say, even if he knows he's not going to get the answer. Okay, like we have in Yadis, we have that negative knowledge. We can't never get the answer to who God is. We could just know who he isn't. Okay, so that's enjoyable. That's the ultimate enjoyment that man can have is the knowledge of God, metaphysical knowledge. That's the ultimate enjoyment in the Yadis maintains a man could have on the highest level of enjoyment, pure metaphysical knowledge. It's all negative knowledge. There's no positive knowledge.
It's not negative knowledge. It's knowing that you don't know. Positive knowledge.
Well, knowing that you don't know?
Yeah.
That's the definition of negative knowledge.
If you're saying that's positive, okay, I agree with you. That's what I'm calling negative knowledge. If you're calling that positive knowledge, okay, then I agree with you. Then every knowledge is positive, right. But when I said my negative is outruling things.
Without what?
Outruling information. You see, like a person thought he knows, now he goes, I know I don't know. So you're outruling a possibility. If you're calling that positive knowledge, okay. But in other words, outruling possibilities is also knowledge. You see, and that's all our knowledge, metaphysical knowledge. Knowledge of God is he's not physical, he's not many. You see, all the knowledge is outruling possibilities. And outruling possibilities is a gain of knowledge. It's a gain. Okay? So insofar as a person enjoys knowledge, he enjoys that. Okay? So let's see. Okay, actually that was the fourth point. with learning. So let's just go over. So the third point was I'm sorry?
Removal of pain.
Okay. The fourth idea is, the fourth factor in learning is that every step in knowledge is learning and therefore enjoyable. In other words, there is no such thing as a mistake in learning. Let's say I make a mistake. Oh, and then I find out that's a mistake. That's knowledge. In other words, there is no such thing as failure in learning because failure is also a step in knowledge. Because I see that approach doesn't work. Now I've outruled that. So I know the answer does not lie there. That's knowledge. Insofar as it's knowledge, a person would enjoy that.
Isn't that the step after the failure? When you find out that he failed and why he failed?
He has to find out he failed, yeah. Because right. Before, he found out that he enjoyed that possibility. You see, he got the enjoyment. He thought that was the truth, and then so he enjoyed it. He enjoyed that setup. Now he went further and say, oh, one second, that does not work. You see, so you'll say, okay, that's it, that's pain. Now he has knowledge. He has more knowledge. He sees why that doesn't work. That is knowledge. Why that doesn't work. You see, that's a gain in knowledge. Okay, will he get what does work? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But he knows that doesn't work. You see, that's a gain in knowledge. Okay? So that's one. So in that respect, learning is different than any other activity. Because if I'm playing baseball and I strike out, there is no real enjoyment there. That is not a gain in terms of baseball. You see, that's not something a person enjoys. The enjoyment is where he succeeds. Where he strikes out, he doesn't look too happy when he walks away from the plate.
Or can you say that he uses that knowledge of why he struck out to improve his batting skills?
That's right. So that would be an enjoyment if he's a lover of baseball in that sense. That's right. In that sense, if he's a lover of how baseball works, you see, and to understand the ideas behind baseball, in that respect, he can enjoy it. That's right. But insofar as the participant, you see, insofar as getting the enjoyment of the active participant, not the observer, then he loses enjoyment because his objective has to be to hit the home run. Otherwise, what's he trying to do? Right? And when he fails in that objective, he loses the pleasure. You see, he strove for a certain end, and he didn't get it. You see, but insofar as he's an observer and he appreciates the ideas of baseball, yeah, then he could enjoy losing just as much as winning, because he saw how they lost and how this worked and how they beat us. Yeah, the guy could get tremendous enjoyment. You see, but not the enjoyment of baseball, the enjoyment of whatever, being the observer of baseball. That would already be like a certain type of chachma. You see, that he could get. That type of chachma he could get. Okay?
So if a guy is learning, he knows he's looking for an answer. He starts out on a mission to find the answer.
Now see, that's what I disagree with. Not looking for an answer.
Let's say a guy's doing that.
Well, then he has an agenda.
Right.
Not looking for knowledge. Yeah, if he has that agenda, okay, good. That's not a real thinker, but good.
Then it's not a real thinker.
That's not a real thinker, because a thinker's not looking, I want to answer this thing. He doesn't have an agenda. He wants to contemplate the ideas. He wants to contemplate the problem and think about it. And wherever it leads him, it may not lead him to an answer, may lead him to the whole thing is wrong. He's not looking, he has no agenda. And that's actually part of the derech of learning, is not to have an agenda. When you open up a sugya, you don't look to try to answer questions. You don't look to try to find answers. You open up the sugya, you see the facts, and you let your mind see, hey, find out something interesting to you. You follow your interest. That's what a person does. A person that's looking for answers, that's already a distracting thing. You see, a person's looking, following his interest just to understand what's going on here. Okay, but to produce svaras, that's not really the derech. I'm going to say a svara. Oh, that's very nice, but that's not really the interesting chachma. Not that you should say svaras. The interesting chachma is to observe what's happening here. Maybe the whole thing is, maybe you'll come up with unbelievable kashas that you enjoy. That's good too. That's not really the derech. The derech is not to try to learn a sugya so I should be able to get answers.
No, it's like a particular. Right now, I'm listening to your shir.
Okay.
Give an answer to why a guy should learn.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out what your answer is.
Okay, good.
I have an agenda. What's your answer?
Okay.
So my thought process to try to...
So are you in a state of pain or are you in a state of enjoyment right now?
Pain.
You're in pain?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry that I injured you. Okay.
How can I enjoy it and not know... My agenda is to understand what you're saying, and I don't understand it.
You See, but the thing is,
a state of deprivation.
No, you're not a state of deprivation. No, you're not a state of deprivation. You're not in any more state of deprivation than you were before I walked into the room. You didn't know what I was saying then, and now you don't know what I'm saying now. Would you say you were walking around in deprivation for the last 10 years? You're not in a state of deprivation.
And at the moment I started thinking, why should a guy learn? Right.
You see, you're not in a state of deprivation. You're state of pondering. That's not a state of deprivation.
Why not?
Because you're involved in an active contemplation. You're thinking about, hey, why should I learn? Let me think about this. That's not a state of deprivation.
You realize that you're lacking the understanding.
State of deprivation means a painful state. If that's a painful state, I don't think it's a painful state. I think it's an enjoyable state to think about ideas. I don't think that thinking about discussing knowledge is not painful, and now the pleasure comes when I get the answer. I think that, look, you know, I don't know, I'm not in pain. Why shouldn't I be in pain? I don't understand what you're saying. I'm not in pain. I'm just...
You're on the agenda of kind of figuring out.
No, I do. What do you mean? You're posing different things to me, and I'm trying to show you what I think, right? So I should be in a state of pain because I want to convey certain information to you, right? And you're not receptive to the information. You're not receiving the information, right? So I should be in a state of pain. I'm not in a state of pain. I find it enjoyable that you have certain things that are challenging me, and I now have to think about different areas. That's an enjoyable thing. Let's say we don't come to a conclusion, right? So I'll walk away and I'll...
Things,
what's that?
You trying to understand what I'm trying... What my position is.
Right.
Is that it should be not the enjoyment of your learning, but the enjoyment of teaching.
Well,
the enjoyment of teaching... If you're not getting through your students, then you're in a state of pain.
I don't think. I mean...
I am.
You are. You're in a state of pain. Why are you laughing?
What?
You don't look like you're in a state of pain.
No, I mean
you look engaged. You look engaged. In other words, you're not exhibiting any of the normal characteristics of a guy in pain.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Mental pain.
You're not exhibiting any, you look engaged and you
what
look happy.
Like?
What's that?
What am I supposed to look like?
You know, I would say a guy that's in pain.
I feel lacking. There's a lack.
But okay, so you're in a state of pain.
I'm
sorry.
What's that? Pain means you need a band-aid and you're right, not in pain. You know, it's a different.
I mean, okay.
It's a
different. Okay, so I have to think about it. I mean, let me just see let me go home and I'll think about your thing. I mean, I don't want to really use up all the enjoyment here. Let me have no, really. I mean, I got to think about it. I mean, I guess I have to think of a better way of conveying it. I mean, or else if you could figure out a better way of showing me what you mean. I mean, I understand you're saying that when a guy is thinking, right, he has a certain sense, he's searching. He is searching for something. And insofar as he's searching, you're saying he's lacking. So, yeah, I mean...
That's why he's searching.
What's that?
That's why he's searching. When God only has active intellect, we work with passive intellect.
Right.
The
so you're saying you got to search.
With the motivation.
I got to think about how to present it. But, let me think about it. Okay? But, See, that's the thing. But the thing is then, how do you explain when a person gets an enjoyment and he's not searching? How do you explain that case where a guy sees a mountain? Beautiful scene.
That's a great question. No idea.
Okay.
Because that's promising, is that
it's what?
Dependent on him living in a place where there's not mountains. Like
okay,
that.
So he's living in a place where there's not mountains.
Sure, but
is he walking around in pain that he doesn't see mountains? Is he walking around deprived that he doesn't have mountains?
Can you answer that question now?
Yeah.
With mountains?
You see that it's dependent on a previous state. It's not an absolute enjoyment.
What's that?
You see that it's dependent on a previous
what?
Deficient state.
What do you mean? Why is it dependent on a previous deficient state?
Because if he was in a place where there was plenty of mountains like that, then he would never experience that enjoyment.
Well, that doesn't show that it's the removal of a deficient state. In other words, what that shows is that sometimes repeated experiences of enjoyment, you see, the guy could lose enjoyment. In other words, let's say, for instance, I enjoy a certain thing, right? I enjoy being in a certain person's company. I enjoy the person, very nice, we get along, right? Now, let's say I now all of a sudden have to be with this person 24 hours a day. I might get sick of the person, right? Now, would you say that that shows that when I enjoy him, it's a state of deprivation? No, that's not a state of deprivation. If I enjoy a person's company, there's a certain enjoyment there. There's a certain enjoyment there. It has nothing to do with I wasn't in pain before I met the guy, like, and now that I see him, it's filling that void. There's a certain enjoyment. Okay? But now you could overdo an enjoyment. You could overdo an enjoyment such that enjoyment becomes painful. That's a different phenomenon. But in other words, I just don't understand how you could envision that every human enjoyment is the removal of pain. There's no such thing as a positive enjoyment, you're saying. I mean, I don't understand what... there's no such thing as a human being have a positive enjoyment. In other words, the only enjoyment people could have is when they're in a state of pain and now they got relief from the pain. I have to think about it, but how you could show that that's not true. But I think if you think about it, you'll see there is two kinds of experiences. Okay, when a person is in a state, when a person takes itching powder and he itches, we don't consider itching a real enjoyment. It's only because of his condition. But there are certain things that it's not because of the condition, it's a positive thing. Guy enjoys going into business. He enjoys business, he enjoys the interaction, he enjoys working with people. Would you equate that with a guy who's itching because of itching powder? No, it's a positive enjoyment, he likes it. I don't know how else to, yeah.
I was wondering if, I don't know if this is exactly applicable, maybe the difference in paradigm between lishma and lishma.
Okay.
Seems like if one takes a paradigm which is more lolishma, then I could see pain being a component of that form of learning. But if it's purely lishma, then any knowledge is going to be a pleasure.
Yeah, any knowledge. Guy gets knowledge, he likes it. I mean, go over to a guy and tell a guy a nice idea. He goes, wow, that's unbelievable. Was he in a state of pain before? And that's why he got such enjoyment, because he was actually in torture and now you remove that torture. No, you gave the guy a positive thing. He likes it.
Resolving curiosity. He's
right.
Not interested. He doesn't care about
that. Right. If you go back to the guy the next day and you tell him the same idea.
The guy wasn't curious. The guy was not curious. You went over to the guy. You say, hey, you want to hear an idea? The guy goes, okay. You tell him an idea.
He
doesn't know what. Yeah, I understand, but you're saying that. You put him in a state of pain and now you take him out of pain.
You can't just say, oh, you want to hear a good idea? That's a gabra. He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, it's predicated on this problem.
He's curious because there's an enjoyment there that he knows he could partake of. The curiosity is he wants to get that enjoyment. He has an interest in ideas, and now you've offered him, here, I can give you an idea. You see, he has an interest. He loves ideas, so that's why he wants to get the idea. He didn't all of a sudden.
He realizes that he
has
lack of ideas.
Is that not the same thing as anticipation or fantasy?
See, it's not anticipation or fantasy. That's an enjoyment that you give a guy when you tell him an idea. It's a positive enjoyment. I don't know. I got to think about it. But I mean, there is such a thing in human beings as positive enjoyment.
Yeah.
And there is such a thing as being in a state of pain where the whole enjoyment is removal of the pain. So maybe think about it a little, because they're two totally different things. Yeah.
I know that, like, just in terms of, like, human psychology, we do maintain, like, a level of homeostasis.
That's
all
right.
The time. Like, whenever something bad happens, like, we get over it. It just,
that's right.
Like, you know, physiologically and like from a neuro
right
science aspect.